chapter 22. Not used to this anymore, having the scriptures up there. That's having to relearn how to preach these days. Amen. When you preach to 5 one service and to 175 the next service, you tend to be a little flexible. So, amen. When you get there, say amen. Amen. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside from the right hand or to the left. Amen. If I were to underline anything in that passage today, it would be that he turned not aside. Not to the right side, not to the left side. He didn't turn. Amen. You can be seated. I won't keep you standing. You see, there were several different kings of Judah. It seemed that you would have a good king and then a bad king and then a good king and then a bad king. It seemed like they never knew what was coming down the pipe. This was, of course, after Solomon had been the king, after David. Solomon's kings turned Israel against God. Israel divided between Israel and Judah. Of course, Benjamin going with the tribe of Judah. Israel never again, I believe, had a good king. But Judah, they tried. You would have a good king and a bad king. Well, when they got to Josiah, they found a good king. Josiah had a crisis early on. I read about Hezekiah, one of his predecessors. And the crisis was literally this, that he had to turn away from the traditions of his fathers. He had to turn away and start to live for God. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He walked in the ways of David his father. This was not an easy thing to do. It was not a very popular thing to do. By this time, by the time that Josiah had come along, they had built so many idols in different places. They had put the idols in the high places. Sure, there had been people who had come along, like Jehoash, who had torn down the high places, and Hezekiah, who had again tore them down. For both Joash and Hezekiah, they both said the same thing. If you go back and you read the first accounts of these kings, it said either they did what was evil in the sight of the Lord or they did what was good in the sight of the Lord. They either walked in the traditions of their father or they walked with the Lord in the tradition of David. It seems like they were divided down the middle. They were a people who couldn't make up their mind. One would go this way and one would go the next. They were like a house that was divided. Depending on who had the reins, they would either run and worship this god, or they would run and worship this god. It got to the point that their children didn't know which way to go. It was a crisis when they had to pick. It was a crisis when they had to determine on their own. The first crisis that Joash had was the crisis of decision. The first crisis that Hezekiah had was the crisis of decision. How many do we have today that are in the crisis of decision? Amen. How many walk in this city today and they have to determine, will I walk in the traditions of my father or will I follow after God? How many different traditions do we have? How many do we have to pick from? Today we feel like we're the first generation who's had these problems. We feel like we have too many decisions. It said that it's the most American of problems is choice. But I'm telling you that these kings lived in a time such as this. These kings lived in a time where they had a choice. If you wanted to serve Baal, you could serve Baal and the people would go right with you. They had already been trained in the way. There was already priests who ministered in the high places that already burned incense. If you wanted to pray to Molech, you could do that. They had already had the high places built. They already had where they would even sacrifice their own children to Molech. When you read in the Bible that a king did evil and he caused his child to pass, particularly their sons, to pass through the fire, that wasn't just a ritual. That wasn't just something that they did. They didn't just wave a baby around a flame and call it a ritual. They literally gave the child to the flame. They literally sacrificed their child to Molech. Josiah could have done that. Josiah could have given his children to the flame. Josiah could have prayed to Baal, but he didn't. Josiah chose to live the right way. He chose to do what was right before the Lord. But so did Jehoash. So did Hezekiah. Why am I talking so adamantly today about Josiah? Let me tell you that there's a difference. When you go and you read about Josiah, there's a difference. Jehoash, it says that he walked, that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in the way of David his father. When you get to Hezekiah, he was literally hidden in the house of the Lord for the first 6 years of his life, I believe. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But you see, with Josiah, there's a difference. In the passage that describes his walk with the Lord, it literally says that he turned not to the left and he turned not to the right. Once he set his mind on what to do, he never turned around. He never gave up his fight. He never, ever, ever gave up. Both of the ones that I mentioned before, there seems to be this thing that when you want to do right with God, that immediately you turn to the house of God. Jehoash, the first thing you read of him doing is taking the money that was stored for the temple, and he started to restore the temple. And as he started to restore the temple, they found the books of the law, and he read the books of the law. He caused the books of the law to be read before the people, and he started holding the people to the law. And yes, he tore down some of the high places. Yes, he was proactive in it. Yes, he rebuilt the temple. But something happened in the next that came along. Let the temple fall aside and went back to practicing. Hezekiah came, and his first interest was the church. To build up the church, to fix the church, to make it beautiful again, to restore the temple so that people could come to a place and worship. But Josiah, I love this man. When he read the books of the law, when they were brought to him by the priest, you see, he found them much like Jehoash did. If you'll pardon me, I just got some really hard names to deal with up here this morning. If it was Fred and Ben, it wouldn't be so difficult. But you see, when they brought him the books of the law, he read them. And when he read them, he was pricked in his heart and he literally rent his clothes. When you read in the Bible where they would rent their clothes, it's literally their heart was broken. They literally disfigured their robe. They tore it out of lament. They wanted to give an outside display of how torn their heart was, of how disheveled they were on the inside. He was literally torn. He caused the books of the law to be read, but then he did something that the others didn't do. He went to the house of the Lord and he stood by the pillars and he took an oath. And as soon as he took the oath and said that I will abide by these laws, I will live according to these statutes, and I will cause the people to, it seems that he immediately went out. He immediately went out and began doing things. He immediately became proactive. It says that he put down the idolatrous priest. And that doesn't mean that he scolded them. He didn't give them the good what for and tell them to get gone. He literally had them put down. He destroyed the priest. He put down the idolatrous priest. He brought out the grove of the house. They had literally defiled the house of the Lord. They had literally caused these other gods to be worshipped literally by the house of God. They had brought their idolatrous worship that close to home. He broke down the houses of the Sodomites. He brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priest had burned incense. He not only became proactive, but he said, there are some things that we have got to get rid of. He was more proactive than the others because I believe that he understood some things. He understood that if we would literally get rid of some of the abominations of the past, if we would tear down some of the things that the people in the past have done and allow ourselves a clean slate, if we would be able to go forth from today forward, if we could just set things right today, if we could tear down the abominations that had been taught, if we would take away the ability to defile ourselves, then we would be able to worship. We would be able to prosper. Jehoash did the right thing. He didn't turn from the right or to the left. He didn't move out of his way. Where other kings were undecided, he was stuck. Still. When you read about the end of his life, it says, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart, and with all his soul, and with all his might. According to all the law of Moses, neither him arose there any like him. I wish that we could have some Josiahs today. I wish that we could have some people who would set their face like a flint. I would that we would have some people today that would say, I'm tired of having a duality of mind. I'm tired of having a pluricity of mind. I'm tired of being unable to decide. I want to do what is right in the sight of the Lord. I want to... Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you that there is something in this place that is drawing you to... Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. If we could put down the hurts of yesterday, if we could put down the things that caused us to go astray, and we could literally tear down the high places. I know it's not easy to go and do it. I know that it's spiritual warfare. You may have to kill some things in your memories. You may have to tear some things down that may have meant something to you. There may be some places that were strongholds in the past that you may literally have to wreck. But I'm telling you that there is a reward in it. There's something that'll transpire in you to where there will be none other like you. You'll be decided. But so what? What if you are decided? Is just being a good person better? Is it just so that we can be good and friendly and nice to people? Is it just so that people will think kindly of us? Or is there something deeper there? Josiah, when he heard the word of the law and he rent his clothes, he did something else, and that is he went to the prophetess. He sent his men to hear of the Lord. He literally wanted to hear what the mouth of God had to say. He found an emissary with God. He found a way to speak with God. He sent his men. And this is what he was told. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against the place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and has rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have also heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. God literally saw in his heart. He said, because you have changed your heart, because you have rent and repented, because you have caused the people to repent, I'm literally going to cause there to be peace in your life. There's a curse upon the people because of the fathers. You see, God had already prophesied and told that he was going to wreck out Judah. Because of the sinful kings, Judah was doomed. God had already spoken that it's going to happen. I'm telling you, hallelujah. We are not too much unlike Judah. I'm telling you, if you'll flip to the back of the book and you'll start reading, God's already said that this world will burn with a fervent heat, that he's going to wipe the slate clean someday. And I'm telling you that it's only through repentance. It's only by recognizing that he's the one true God. It's only by coming to the statutes of the Lord. It's only by inquiring of the Lord. It's only by having an emissary with the Lord that we'll ever have faith to be saved. Amen. That's our only chance. That's the only way out of this. If you look around you and you see the world today, you will see the plurality of man's mind. People will literally talk to you about spiritual things and you can see they have no idea. No idea. Maybe it's just where I work, maybe it's just my job, but I literally talk to people who seek after these things and they have no idea. I speak to Native Americans. There's nothing wrong with being a Native American. That just means you were here first. But when it becomes your religion, we have a problem. When we start to worship the creation more than we do the Creator, there's a problem. So many religions nowadays, you see the creation worshiped. I see the Bible profaned. I see the Word of God diluted every day. Even the ones that you would think had it right, when it comes to really nailing it down, they show a plurality of mind. They show a duality. It's like they want to marry human nature with spirituality, and it cannot be done. I am sick and tired of hearing great sermons from pulpits and then saying, if you'll come down here and shake my hand, it'll be okay. I'm telling you, it's a lie from the pit of hell. You can't shake my hand and it be okay. I can't do anything for you. It's not until we come to an old altar of repentance. It's not until we literally take on the Holy Spirit. It's not until God blesses us with the Holy Ghost that we ever have. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wish I could just put it in a pill. I wish that I could just give it to people. But the fact of the matter is you can't. It's because of the duality of man's spirit that we have this. My sole mission today is to bring to you this. It is high time that we make up our minds. It is high time that we would say it's more important than anything. Even if you took away heaven, even if I didn't know anything about heaven, I'm telling you, if you would have known me 10 years ago, if you would have seen my family 10 years ago, if you would have been there when my wife was packing up her car ready to leave me, if you would have been there through the addiction, if you would have been there through the drunkenness, if you would have been there through the shame, then you would see, oh, hallelujah. See, when he pulled me out of it, I didn't have a problem being, oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It's not until we make up our minds and we set them like a flint. The indecisiveness of thinking about it just isn't good enough. It's not until we decide to be like Josiah. It's not until we decide to tear down that would come against us. It's not until we start tearing down those things. You see, I noticed a problem in my life. There was this problem, and that's I acted just like my father. My mother, she drugged me to church. She made sure that I was there until I was too big to drag. And then somehow she still made sure I was there for a while. My father, I can count on my hand how many times he walked in the church. How many times. Now he did good things. I always saw my father giving money to people. I celebrated my 40th birthday. 15 days later was Christmas. I found out I have a sister that I never met. Now, my wife was floored. She couldn't believe that I had a sister that I hadn't met. And so she says, "Well, aren't you going to meet her?" And I said, "Probably not." She said, "Well, why not?" I said, "Well, I'm kind of tired of this, really. I'm tired of meeting people that I didn't know." It started when I was about 10 years old. I met a sister that I didn't know I had. Then I met a brother that I didn't know I had. And then I met another brother I didn't know I had. Then I met a sister I didn't know I had. I wonder if my father ever met any children, siblings that he didn't know he had. Because this kind of thing goes from generation to generation. The lies, the betrayal, it goes from generation to generation. There were some bones that were living in my past that I didn't even know I had. One thing that Josiah did when he started to tear down these high places, when he started to tear down the altars to Baal, when he started tearing down the statues of Molech, one thing that he would do is he went up into the hills and he literally pulled out the bones of the prophets who served him and he burned the bones on them. He said, "I'm going to the root of the problem. I'm going back as far as our people can remember and I'm removing the reproach on us." It isn't until we acknowledge that there is a reproach on us. There was a whole lot more than my own sins riding on my back. As a teenager, I felt the pressure. Young people, listen to me. Some of the pressures that you feel may be from your own life, but some of the pressures literally come from what was passed to you. I'm sorry. I don't want to be the one to break the news to you, but it is a biblical fact that the sins of the fathers will go three generations. Sometimes it's literally our upbringing that is a curse to us. But I'm telling you, the now and then, just every now and then, you find someone with enough backbone and enough gumption to stand up and say, "I don't care what's popular in this world. I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't care what my ancestors did." And to be real honest with you, that's part of the problem. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no second generation in the house of God. How can there be three generations of sin but no second generation in the house of God? It's because you must decide on your own. There must become a day in your life where you literally say, "I will serve the Lord." We call it being born again, receiving the Holy Ghost. We call it all kinds of things, but I'm telling you what it really is. It's setting your face like a flint and saying, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to repent of what I have done. I'm literally going to place my entire life in the hands of God." Despite mine afflictions, despite what history has done to me, I will serve the Lord. I wish that I had an easier way to preach this. I wish that I didn't have to go and point fingers at people that have already passed. But the fact of the matter is in spite of it, we must decide. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I wanted to come and preach a shouting message. I wanted to come preach a revival message. But the fact of the matter is I've struggled for days over this. I've lamented for days over this. I didn't want to come and say that it's because of our ancestors that these problems fall on us. I didn't want to say it's because of the way that we were brought up that we have these problems. But the fact of the matter is no matter what it is, we have a way out. We have an emissary. If we would just place ourselves before the Lord this morning, if we would literally go before Him with a contrite heart, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. That's what it said of Josiah. Not because you're a mighty warrior, not because you have taken a sword and slain kill folks. You try it with a gap in your teeth. Amen. Not because you're tough. Not because you're rugged. It takes a backbone to live for God. It takes some muscle to live for God. It takes a made-up mind, but it also takes a broken heart. It was literally from this that I found salvation. It was literally from a broken heart when I literally couldn't turn any place else. When I tried to turn to the left and I tried to turn to the right, and I found no answer there and I found nothing there. You can try all of the things and you'll find nothing there. That's the problem with the people of Israel, is they would be under a good king and there would be success in their life, and they would start chasing off after other things. They would find other gods, other perspectives. And they clung to those when times got hard. You see, when you start veering away from God, things will get tough. I learned this firsthand. I was filled with the Holy Ghost at a young age. I was refilled at the age of 19 years old. Both times I walked away from God. Both times I found no satisfaction. It seemed every time I would sit on a bar stool, someone wanted to talk about God. I couldn't get high without someone wanting to make a reference to God. Literally, time after time, I would sit in a bar stool or out by a fire or somewhere partaking of something that I shouldn't have and explain to people that you really just don't have it. And then they would look at me and say, "How do you know?" I didn't like that. Because I had to tell them at one point, I had a relationship with God. At one point, I fell on an old-fashioned altar. At one point, I turned my entire life around. I felt what it was like to have the weight of sin lifted. I felt what it was like to have the reproach of generations taken off of me. I felt what it was like to have the yoke of sin broken. And now here, sitting on this bar stool, I have to tell you that I know the way out. I know the way that you can get out of it. I can lead you, but I can't tell you why I'm not going. If you're under the sound of my voice in this place, I want to tell you this, that if there is no way to explain why you're not doing it, if there's no way to explain why you're not living for God, oh, hallelujah. It's only through the brokenheartedness of it. It's only by coming to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I can't tell you why I didn't. I've gone back and I've rationalized it time after time. I knew that God was going to call me to preach. When I was 19 years old, I got the call. That's why I ran. That's one of the reasons why I didn't want to live for God. I knew that there would be a judgment for me that I couldn't stand under. I knew that I was going to have to stand before people and live this out, and I didn't have the backbone for it. I didn't have the resolve for it. I didn't have what it took to stand up in spite of the pressure. I didn't have what it took to stand in spite of my family. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. The very thing that caused me to veer away from God is the very thing that caused me to live for God. Because in spite of my trying to appease the population, instead of trying to go out, oh, hallelujah, I was just too cool to live for God. Well, I got to tell you, it's not cool to stand there and watch your family drive away. It's not cool to stand and look at a house empty and devoid of everything you love. It's not cool to sit on a bar stool and tell people time and time again, I know the way, but I'm just not. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, that you would hear my voice today, that you would hear, oh, hallelujah. It's time that we decide. I once counseled a young man in prison. He told me everything that he could possibly tell me about his life. I shared my testimony with him. I gave him everything that I had. I gave him every bit of my heart. I gave him every bit of my energy. I gave him the knowledge of God. I told him how. Just like I would tell people how on that bar stool, but this time it was different. I had a success story. I was telling him I did it. And now here I am. He got up. As he was leaving my office, I shook his hand. And I just asked him this question. What are you going to do? His eyes filled with tears. Because suddenly he had no answer for me. When I explained the Holy Ghost, he had an answer. When I explained judgment, he had an answer. But when I asked him the question, what will you do today? He had no answer for me. He sat back down in the chair. And there he sat for a long time, unable to answer. I would like to tell you that he repented. I would love to tell you that everything's better, but I can't. Because there he sat, undecided. There he sat, undecided. He never made that choice. I see him from time to time and I shake his hand. Every time, as our hands collide, I can feel him already pulling away. I'm just an acquaintance now. He's in one of the worst prisons in the state of Texas. In one of the worst buildings. Where people are harmed and done wrong every day. He's flirting with disaster, yet he can't make a decision. Don't be that way today. I'm going to open these altars up. I'm not making a long drawing call. After all, it's not my words that should entice, but literally the drawing. I've given you everything that I have this morning. I've given you every ounce of energy that I have on the subject. Now all I can do is ask you in parting, what will you do today? You can slip out the door. Or you can come make it right. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Think it would be a good idea, saints, if we would come and spend some time before the Lord. If we would reaffirm, God, I made a decision, maybe even years back, but I'm not turning to the right or to the left. Think it would be a good idea if we would come up and reaffirm these things. If we would literally get before the Lord and hear from Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Oh, I give all myself to you. No, I...